So it's so great to see you guys. So glad you're here this morning. Yeah. Come on up. Okay, so maybe you guys could scoot down a little bit more. Yeah, keep going. So yeah, you know, our fourth, fifth, and sixth graders, our youth group is kind of growing here in church. I like that. So this is cool to have all of you here. Okay, so I want to ask you a question. So what's your favorite hamburger place? What do you think? What's your favorite? In-N-Out, okay. Same. What about you? What's your favorite hamburger? In-N-Out. In-N-Out. Look at that, it's unanimous. Okay. And I want you to imagine, you know, going to In-N-Out Burger, and you get your burger, you know, it looks great, it's all wrapped up, and you take the wrapping off, and you look at it, and there's no hamburger there. Instead, there's a block of wood. Like, you'd be a little disappointed, wouldn't you? You'd probably think, okay, this is not funny. That's what you'd be thinking. And so here's the point. It's what's on the inside that counts, right? It's not the wrapper. It's what is on the inside that counts. And you know, God looks at us, and when he looks at us, it's what's on the inside that counts. Now, when God looks at us, what does he want to see inside of us? What do you think? Okay, well, since I'm the pastor, I'll just go ahead and tell you, okay? So what he wants to see when he looks inside of us, he wants to see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what he wants to see. And so God is disappointed when he sees anger or bad attitudes or resentment or any of those attitudes, you know, that are just the opposite of the things that I've just mentioned. So how can we get all of that in us? The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Well, all of those things comes from God's Spirit. And so we just need to turn to God, and if there's anything bad inside of us, we need to get rid of it. And then ask God to fill us with His Spirit. And if we ask God to fill us with His Spirit, guess what? He will. He promises to fill us with His Spirit if we just ask. So let's pause right now, and let's ask God to fill us with His Spirit, okay? Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you want to put good in us. And we thank you that you've made good available to us through your Spirit. And so right now, Lord, we just want to pause. And all of us in this room, Lord, we want to turn away from anything that's not pleasing to you. In the quietness of our heart, we confess our sin. We confess those times when we have said things that we shouldn't have said or done things that we shouldn't have done. And right now, we want to ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So now that you've asked God to fill you with His Spirit, do you feel any different? Well, you know, you might not, because God filling us with His Spirit is not based on feelings. It's based on His promise. He promised to fill us with His Spirit. And so we can know that we're filled with His Spirit by faith, just by trusting Him. So we're going to talk a little bit about what goes on the inside of us this morning. In fact, one of the things that we're going to talk about this morning that we don't particularly like talking about, we don't particularly talk about it too often, but we're going to talk about it this morning because Jesus talked about it. We're going to talk about anger. We're going to talk about anger because we've gotten to that place in the book of Matthew where Jesus talks about anger. So just stop and think about it. Anger has become a big problem in our culture. One man has said, "Speak when you are angry, and you'll deliver the best speech you'll forever regret." There is anger in government. There's anger in politics. There's anger in our schools. There's anger in our families. There's anger in our marriages. And I'm ashamed to say, there's anger in the church. The root of all anger is pride. Now, there is such a thing as righteous anger, an anger against evil and against injustice. But that's not the subject of today. Today we're talking about anger when things don't go the way we want. Does that ever happen to you guys? Or anger because we think we deserve to be treated like a king, and we're not. Sometimes anger is a result of a misunderstanding. You know, there was an immigrant who came to our country in the United States. You know, he'd gone through the proper channels. He had his green card, and he was all excited. He knew very little English. He was a Christian, and he kind of wanted to hang out with Christians, so he visited a North Carolina church so that he could worship and fellowship with Christians during a Sunday morning service. So the church was full, and the usher found the immigrant a seat right in the front row next to a tall man and his family. So just imagine this. You know, he's sitting here, doesn't speak the language. He decided to do whatever the tall man did. So when the tall man stood, he stood. When the tall man sat down, he sat down. When the tall man bowed his head, he bowed his head. And when the tall man knelt down, the immigrant knelt down. Well, while he didn't understand much or what was going on, the immigrant was enjoying the spirit of the service. Suddenly the service became quiet. After the pastor spoke for several minutes, the tall man rose to his feet. The immigrant stood to his feet alongside the tall man. Then suddenly the tall man became upset and he pushed him back down in his seat. And the immigrant was hurt. He didn't understand that and why this tall man was suddenly being so rude. So after the service, the tall man, he tried to apologize to the immigrant for his sudden rudeness. An interpreter came and explained that the pastor had dedicated the tall man's baby to the Lord. And then the pastor asked, "Will the father of this baby please stand up?" Now here's a few things that the Bible says about anger. Psalm 39 verse 8 says, "Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm." Proverbs 14:17 says, "Short-tempered people do foolish things." In that same proverb, verse 29, it says, "A hot temper shows great foolishness." Sometimes anger is misdirected. A father and daughter were riding in a crowded elevator. Suddenly a woman in front of them turned around and slapped the father right in the face. The elevator opened and the woman immediately stormed off and looked back with a scowl at the father. Father was obviously shaken and confused. He looked at his daughter and asked, "What's her problem?" And the little girl answered, "Well, she's just a mean lady who likes to hurt people, Daddy. I don't like her either. She kept stepping on my toes, so I pinched her bottom as hard as I could." Here's a few other things the Bible says about anger. Matthew 6, verse 14, we'll get to it in a couple of months. Jesus says, "Forgive those who sin against you." Romans 12, verse 19, we read it this morning. "Leave revenge to God. Don't do it yourself, ever." Ephesians 4, 26 has several things. In 26 through 32 it says, "Don't sin by letting anger control you. Anger gives a foothold to the devil. Get rid of all bitterness, anger, rage, harsh words, slander. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ has forgiven you." Sometimes anger is overdone. So there was this deaf couple outside the library who were talking to each other and using sign language. And they were signing with intense gestures, apparently as a heated debate. The man said something, you know, through sign language, and the woman seemed upset. She started signing her reply very fast to the point that the man couldn't understand her. Then she started signing with big, large gestures, which implies loud volume. Finally, the man took the woman's hands, silencing her. Then he signed very small and slowly, "You don't have to shout. I'm not blind." Here's a few other things the Bible says about anger. Colossians 3, verse 8. "Get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language." James 1, verse 19 and 20. "Understand this. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." So let's talk about solutions. You know, I could give you a bunch of self-help ideas. Count to 10. Leave the room. Grab the phone and call your mother. Or you could sing a happy song. Like, for example, you could sing this song. I'm inside, outside, upside, downside, happy all the time. I'm inside, outside, upside, downside, happy all the time. When Jesus Christ came in and washed my soul from sin, I'm inside, outside, upside, downside, happy all the time. Yay! You can try that. Thank you. Thank you. Actually, Jesus already gave the solution to anger in the Beatitudes. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Want to get rid of an anger problem? Have a pure heart. We also mentioned a few solutions in the Bible verses about anger that we read earlier. Psalm 38, stop being angry. Okay, just stop it. Anger is a reaction. It is also a habit. It's also a decision. Decide to stop. Ephesians 4:26. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Okay, so what should control us? As Christians, the Holy Spirit should control us. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. God commands us in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let me show you why this is so important. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. We'll start with verse 19. That's on page 1051. Page 1051. And Luis Alfredo, if you could help everybody get to the right place. Page 1051. I'm sorry, I think I said 55. Page 1051. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. We'll start with verse 19. Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 21. This is a very familiar passage. But repetition is a great teacher. Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 19, page 1051. How you doing down there, guys? Did you find it? Find 19? Okay, I've got one thumbs up. Let's wait a few minutes. There we go. Okay, go ahead and find verse 19. Yeah, this is verse 19. So just follow along as I read. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, or they're obvious, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger. Okay, there it is. And it's right there with everything else. Outburst of anger. And then it says disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things, in other words, those who do these things and don't think there's anything wrong with it, those people will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty serious. These are serious things to God. Anger is serious to God. Now look at verse 22. But, and here it is, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And then it says in verse 24, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So we're to be filled with the Spirit, and we're to go through our day in the fullness of God's Spirit. And if we do, He'll produce these qualities in our lives. And the Holy Spirit will deal with the anger in our hearts and lives. Okay, now let's turn to the passage that we're going to look at this morning. It's in Matthew chapter 5. Turn with me now to Matthew chapter 5. And you'll find that on page 866. Page 866. Matthew chapter 5. And I want to mention that on the back of your bulletin, you have an outline for this passage. And if you just look at the outline and follow the outline, you'll get a sense of what God wants us to know about this passage. So here we are in Matthew chapter 5. We're just picking up where we left off last week. And we're picking up with verse 21. So please follow along as I read. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, page 866. How you doing, guys? You got it? Okay. Got another thumbs up over there. Verse 21. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. Those are some pretty serious words by the Lord Jesus. So let's look back at verse 21. Now, do you notice that Jesus often begins by saying something that everybody agrees with? That's what he does here in this passage. He says, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. Okay, that's one of the Ten Commandments, one of the Big Ten, I like to say. And Jesus is talking to a bunch of Jews, and these Jews, they knew the Ten Commandments. In their mind, they kept the Ten Commandments, and because they think they keep the Ten Commandments, they think they're okay. They think they're going to heaven. They think they're going to heaven because they never murdered anybody. But God doesn't just look at the outside, right? God looks on the inside. Verse 22, he says, do you think murder is wrong? Jesus says, anger is equally wrong. Let that sink in for a few minutes. When you're angry, you're just as guilty as if you committed murder. Okay, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Jesus says you'll be guilty before the court. It refers to the local community court of law. Anger is the root cause of murder. In your anger, perhaps if you had a gun in your hand, you just might have committed murder. God sees our heart, and when He sees our anger, He hates that just as much as He hates murder. Those are sobering words. Think about that for a few minutes. We often justify our anger, just as people justify murder. Oh, he deserved it. He shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have said that. Jesus is saying, no excuses. If you've been angry, you're guilty. Just as guilty as if you had committed murder. Murder destroys a life. Anger can also destroy a life. Anger can destroy a marriage, a family, a friendship, and any relationship. Jesus takes it further and tells us something else is equal with murder. Verse 22, it's name calling. He says, if anyone says, you good for nothing, or you empty head. So Jesus says, if you call somebody a name like good for nothing or empty head, you shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. Okay, not the local court, the Supreme Court. Literally, in the Greek, it's the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin, that was the highest court in Jerusalem. The court that could punish someone by stoning them to death. Except that the Romans wouldn't let them do that. The Jews couldn't apply capital punishment without their permission. However, they did it anyway when the Romans weren't looking, as they did when they stoned Stephen in Acts chapter 7. The NIV says, if you call anyone raka, and then there's a footnote, it's an Aramaic term of contempt. So in other words, if you say something to anybody with contempt, the King James Version says the same thing, raka, with a footnote that says, literally, Aramaic, empty head. Now, raka was an epithet commonly used in the day of Jesus that has no exact modern translation or equivalent. The English Standard Version Bible says, whoever insults his brother. The New Living Bible says, if you call somebody an idiot. The word raka was the word used in the time of Jesus to put somebody down or insult someone. There's a Jewish legend that was around when Jesus taught, and it tells of a young rabbi named Simon ben Eleazar, who had just come from a session with his famous teacher. The young man felt especially proud about how he handled himself before the teacher. As he basked in his feeling of exaltation, wisdom, and holiness, he passed a man who, in his eyes, was especially unattractive. He wasn't wearing nice clothes. He had strong features and was somewhat unkempt. When the man greeted Simon, the rabbi responded by saying, "You raka, how ugly you are. Are all the men of your town as ugly as you?" The man answered, "That I do not know. But go and tell the maker who created me how ugly is the creature he has made." So the point of the story is to slander a creature made in God's image is to slander God himself and is equivalent to murdering that person. Contempt, says Jesus, is a murder of the heart. And the contemptuous person shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was a council of 70 elders and scribes and Pharisees and priests who tried the most serious of offenses and pronounced the severest penalties, including death by stoning. Then Jesus continues and says in verse 22, look at the last phrase in 22, it says, "Whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell." The phrase in English, "you fool," is the Greek word mora. It means stupid or dull. It's the term which we get the word moron. Jesus says, anyone who shall say, "you fool," shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Literally, in the Greek, it's the Gehenna of fire. Gehenna originates from the Hebrew Gehinnom, which means valley of Hinnom, a literal physical valley located outside of Jerusalem, historically associated with the gruesome child sacrifice in the Old Testament. It later became a perpetual burning municipal trash dump. In the time of Jesus, the word was used to imply punishment by God in hell. Murder is sin. Anger is sin, equal to murder. Name-calling is sin, also equal to murder. And all three are deserving of hell. That's what Jesus says here in this passage. All this is to say, don't think you're good with God just because you haven't committed murder. If you have been angry, or if you are into name-calling, you are just as guilty as a murderer. So if I'm guilty of being angry, or if I'm guilty of name-calling, what do I do? Well, Jesus tells us what to do in the next verses. Look at verse 23. "Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar," or in other words, if you're coming to God, if you're going to God in prayer, if you're coming into church, "and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering." So in other words, if you come into the presence of Almighty God, the God who is holy, the God who hates sin, you need to ask yourself, does a specific act... Well, when I go to God, here's what I should ask. Have I been angry with anyone? Have I called somebody a name? If I have, get right with others before coming to God. Now, before anybody runs out the door, just listen to what I'm about to say. People often misapply this verse. I had a pastor quote this verse to me not too long ago, and it was obvious he didn't understand this verse. First of all, you can only apply this verse to yourself. Jesus says, if you are presenting your offering to the altar, and there remember. So who is the you? The you is you. Okay, so you can't apply this to somebody else. You cannot use this verse to tell somebody else that they need to leave their offering and go be reconciled. Now, if someone is in sin, if someone has hurt someone by their anger or by name-calling, then according to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, you should go to that person and lovingly help them and get right with God and get right with the person they hurt. That's if they're sinned against somebody. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying here, if you have been angry, if you have belittled someone, if you have degraded someone, if you have said something to someone in contempt, calling them a name, or if you have cursed someone, you need to take care of that as soon as possible. If you're in prayer, you need to get off your knees and go apologize for your anger and apologize for what you said. This is serious with God. We Christians oftentimes just go along with the world and do what others do around us. No, we're different. Don't go into the presence of God acting like everything is great when you know you've hurt a fellow human being made in the image of God. A person whom God loves and cares for. Okay, now you can run out the door. Or take care of it as soon as possible. Now Jesus takes it one step further. Just in case it has gone one step further. And in many cases it does. So in other words, when you have been angry with someone, you've called someone a name or names, and now they're taking you to court. They're bringing a defamation suit against you. You know, defamation suits are common here in the United States. Jesus says, make friends quickly with your opponent at law. I think there's a key phrase there. Make friends quickly with your opponent. We generally don't think of making friends with our opponents. Jesus says, make friends quickly with your opponent at law. In other words, settle things out of court. Jesus says in verse 25, make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Sometimes things get really serious. It's amazing how many Christians are caught up in lawsuits. And Jesus says, settle it out of court. Don't let your pride keep you from admitting that your anger was wrong. Don't let pride keep you from admitting that your name calling was wrong. Call it what God calls it. It's sin. Go to your opponent and apologize. You'll make a friend, maybe. And then Jesus gives this warning. Don't let things get worse. You may end up in prison. Prisons during the time of Jesus were not nice places. So let's talk about a few points of application. First of all, forsake anger. Ask yourself, have I been angry with someone? Have I called somebody a degrading name? Then secondly, listen to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Word of God. He tells you that anger is sin, equal to murder. Listen to the Word of God. He tells you that name calling is a sin, equal to murder. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Go and apologize. Make friends, not enemies. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we know that anger never makes friends. Lord, we know that name calling never makes friends. Lord, we thank you for your clear and serious and sobering words this morning. Lord, we pray that we would take to heart the scripture that was read, that if possible, so far as it depends on you, to be at peace with all men. Give us the grace, Lord, and the courage to be at peace with all men. Don't allow us, Lord, to allow anger to fester in our hearts and minds. Lord, we thank you that you have a better way. And we thank you that when we go to apologize, when we go to make things right, that we are not going alone. You are with us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us the grace to make that peace that needs to be made. And Lord, if we're in a situation where we are at peace with everyone we know, Lord, give us the grace to keep the peace, to say words that help and encourage others. We know, Lord, that we can only do this by your grace and strength. And so we ask for your help in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.